Okay, well, we'll continue. We'll read our scripture passage for this evening. You find it in Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 is where we'll begin our reading. Colossians chapter 3, we'll begin our reading at verse 12, and we'll read down to the end. Verse 6 of chapter 4. Colossians chapter 3, we'll read verse 12. Our focus will be in verses 2 and 3, 4 of verse of chapter 4. But we'll begin our reading at verse 12 of chapter 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Amen. We'll end our reading there. Brothers and sisters, if you turn to your Bibles again, we'll read again the verses that we want to focus our minds on tonight. Colossians chapter 4, we'll read verses 2 through 4 again. Apostle Paul writing to the believers here in the Church of Colossae, exhorting them to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. O congregation, brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul, just like his Lord and Master, the Lord Jesus, he was a man of prayer. He was a man who knew the importance of prayer. He was a man who had experienced the power of prayer in his own life and ministry. That prayer, as someone has said, moves the arm that moves the universe. You see, prayer is our lifeline to God himself, the God of the universe. Prayer is the channel, it's the means through which God's people here on earth connect to God in heaven, and they gain his ear, so to speak. They acquire his help and his aid. And so for Paul then, prayer was a very natural part of his life as an apostle, as a follower of the Lord Jesus. Indeed, one of the very first things that were told about the apostle Paul immediately after he was converted to Christ on the Damascus Road was that he was engaged in the practice of prayer. But not only was Paul himself a man of prayer, he also took it for granted that all of God's people would be a praying people. That prayer is meant to be a natural part of the life of every Christian. And yet, having said that, he was no doubt aware of the fact that for many believers, prayer can be a very difficult and challenging thing to engage in consistently and well. And it's something then that all Christians need to be constantly exhorted and encouraged to practice and focus on, to persevere in. You see, it is the will of God that is people. They do make it their habitual practice to pray to Him. And so as this is our annual prayer day service, I want to take this opportunity then to focus once again on the spiritual discipline of prayer by taking as our theme the practice of prayer. I want to look at the exhortation Paul gives in the verses we just read in Colossians chapter 4 to this end. You see, Paul is giving instructions here in these verses as to how we are to pray and also as to what we are to pray. And it's these two sets of instruction then that I want to take the time to look at with you this evening. Well, how does Paul say we are to pray then? Well, he begins his instruction, if you look here in verse 2, by exhorting the believers in the church at Colossae to continue earnestly in prayer. Now, what does that mean? Well, this phrase can also be translated as devote yourselves to prayer, continue steadfastly in prayer. And so the basic import of these words is that we're to have an unwavering commitment in prayer and to prayer. We're to pray with persistence. We're to pray with perseverance. And see, prayer is something then the Christian is called to be dedicated and devoted to engaging in. It's something they must never give up on, something must never cease to work at and seek to grow more and more in. Any more than a husband or wife are to give up on one another. Rather, they're to express their devotion, their commitment to one another by persisting with each other through the good times as well as the bad. And they're to continue to work at all times at building and strengthening their relationship with each other. So it is with devoting ourselves to prayer. Paul says we're to keep at it, even when at times perhaps, and we've all experienced times like this, when perhaps we don't feel like praying. Times perhaps when we experience dryness in our prayer lives. Times when we frankly don't even know what to pray for. We don't know what to say. We don't feel like we're doing a very good job of it. Or times perhaps when we feel like our prayers are not getting above and beyond the ceiling. Well, in spite of all these things, you see, Paul is reminding us here we must persevere in prayer. You see, we must recognize that prayer is not something that is optional for the Christian. It's something that's absolutely vital for their spiritual health and well-being, for their growth in grace, for their relationship with God. Or as we said in our introduction, prayer is our spiritual lifeline to God Himself. And brothers and sisters, here, this is something then that we all need to be constantly reminded of, so that we would seek to stir ourselves up, to give time and attention to the practice of daily consistent prayer. that we would seek to carve out time in our daily routines and schedules to deliberately draw aside from everything else so that we can draw near to God and to talk to Him through prayer, just as every one of us set aside time each day to eat, to sleep, to talk to others. And how we need all the more to ensure that we do so in our busy world of social media and so many other things and entertainment and all the rest of it, which can so easily distract us, which can lead us away from giving time and energy to this spiritual discipline. But how prone we can we not, to turn to our cell phones, to turn to other things, rather than devote ourselves to habitually turning in earnest to God in prayer, rather than making prayer a matter of priority in our lives. But we're exhorted here to actively commit to being intentional in doing so, to guard against anything that would interfere with our doing so, which is why Paul goes on to say here we're also to be vigilant in prayer. You see, Paul wasn't naive. Paul wasn't ignorant of the fact that devotion to prayer, it requires effort, requires discipline, does require focus, and that prayer can so easily get pushed aside amid all of the busyness of life, all of the many other things that we have to be engaged in. And so he presses home this point all the more, the absolute need to commit to praying no matter what, to remain vigilant or watchful or alert in doing so. Because you see, the fact of the matter is, every one of us, we're constantly having to work against distractions and hindrances in the way of our devotion to God and to prayer. And you know as well as I do, if we simply choose to leave prayer to chance, then we don't take deliberate steps that we must to devote time to prayer, then the chances are we will simply leave off prayer altogether. And see, just like a sentry posted on a city wall or stationed on a military base knows they need to be vigilant, they need to be watchful, they need to be ever alert at their posts, because you see, they know the danger of becoming sleepy or careless in their assigned task. And so too, Paul is saying the believer is called to be ever watchful, to be vigilant, to be alert, to stay awake in the matter of praying also. Because you see, we too, as Christians, were to realize the very real danger that exists of allowing other things, such as television or sports, countless other things, to get in the way of cultivating an active, consistent, healthy prayer life. Life that keeps us vitally connected to God, that leads to spiritual health, to vitality in our walk with God. And as Christians, then, we must be prepared to fight against everything and anything that would keep us back from prayer, that would come between us and fellowship and communion with God through prayer. You see, friends, we're engaged in a constant spiritual warfare in this life. That means we must be ever vigilant, ever alert, make use of the weapons of our warfare that God has given us so that we can be victorious in this spiritual battle, one of which, as Bunyan says, is the weapon of all prayer. Well, we're to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it then. But we're also to engage in prayer, as Paul goes on to note here, with thanksgiving. You see, we're to express our thankfulness to God in prayer for who He is in Himself, for all that He is toward us in Christ, for all that He does for us every day, for all that He's promised to do for us, for all that He gives us day in and day out, all of the many blessings he sends our way each and every day. But most of all, surely we ought to thank him for the fact that he's now given us freedom of access to himself through prayer. You see, because of Christ, because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, a new and a living way has now been opened up for us to draw near to God, to pour out our hearts to him, to make our requests known to God, the God who promises to hear and answer the prayers of his people when they do so. And friends, we ought to make use of this amazing privilege and blessing of a throne of grace with thanksgiving then. You see, Christ died. Christ entered into heaven, where he now appears in the presence of God for us, on our behalf, so that you and I might do so, that we might now come boldly to a throne of grace in faith, with unwavering confidence, that you and I might now obtain mercy. We might find grace to help in time of need. And friends, let's face it, our lives are literally filled with times of need. But thanks be to God, we always have a place to which we can now go in all of our need, whatever it may be. And we can cast every care, every burden, every concern that we have on God then. We can seek his aid, his help, his grace through Christ, because Christ ever lives to represent us in the throne room of heaven at the right hand of God. And how thankful you and I should be then. We don't have to go through life trying to carry all of our burdens and cares on our own little shoulders. No. We're to go to the God of all grace with all of these things, and we're to ask him to reveal to us the glorious sufficiency of his grace, to enable us to bear up under them, to enable us to persevere in the midst of them. Well, Paul first exhorts us here then as to how we are to pray, that we are to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. But then he also goes on in verses 3 and 4 to give specific instructions as to what we are to pray. And that's what I want to turn to look at then in the second place. And of course, Paul is not giving us here an exhaustive list of things to pray for. He's not saying these are the only things that we need to pray for. But he is seeking to focus our attention on some of the things that we ought to make a matter of priority in our praying. You'll notice he mentions two things in particular here that we can and should pray for continually. And the first of these is a prayer request for those who are engaged in the work of preaching, the work of evangelism, that God would open doors for them to proclaim the gospel, for the word of God to go out to the ends of the earth. And of course, Paul is writing here to the believers in Colossae, that they would pray very particularly for him, for his co-laborers in the gospel, others who were ministering alongside of him, men such as Epaphras and Timothy. And you see, Paul was not afraid then to ask other believers to pray for him, to seek their prayers. You see, on the contrary, prayer was Paul was a man who knew how much he needed the prayers of God's people. His ministry was to be effective and blessed by God. You see, he knew the same was true for all of those who labor in word and in doctrine. And friends, just like Paul was asking for the prayers of those who to whom he was writing here, well, so too I ask every one of you here, as your pastor, pray earnestly for me as I labor among you from week to week. Friends, if there is one thing that I desire from you more than anything else, it is that you would pray for me and for my ministry here among you. You see, I too, like Paul, realize I can do nothing of any real or lasting value here among you without the blessing of God. You see, it's God alone who gives the increase. It's God alone who can cause His word to produce fruit in your heart and in your life. And so I too encourage you then to pray for me, to keep me in your prayers continually. But also that you would pray for all of those here who've been given the responsibility of spiritual leadership and oversight in our congregation, that God would bless our work, that He would enable us as office bearers to be instruments for good in His hands as we seek to fulfill our callings among you. But then, friends, let us also pray, faithfully pray for all pastors, for all leaders in the church, for missionaries, for Christian workers everywhere, that God would uphold them in His service. He would open doors to each of them to reach others with the truth, to speak the truth into people's lives. You see, friends, it's the truth alone that has the power to set people free from their sin and all of its devastating effects in their lives. And if there's one thing then this world of ours desperately needs more than anything else, it is for the truth of God to go out, to penetrate into the hearts and minds of all who are brought into contact with it. And so, brothers and sisters, let us commit to praying to God for the spread of the truth in our own community, in our nation, and to the ends of the earth. For God alone can open the door for the truth to go out, to be received. But He does so in response to the prayers of His people. And you and I, and many of us, we may not be able to always go out, do the work of evangelism and ministry ourselves. You see, all of us can, all of us must commit to praying for all those for whom God has called to do this work. Well, Paul's great desire was then that God's people would pray for doors to be opened wide for the spread of the gospel, the advancement of the kingdom of God here on earth. But he was also concerned that God would not only open doors, but that the word might be proclaimed boldly and with clarity once doors were opened up. Which is why he goes on here to write to the church in Colossae that he and others would be able to speak the mystery of Christ, for which he said he was also in chains, that he might make it manifest as he ought to speak. And he prayed elsewhere virtually the same prayer in the book of Ephesians, including the desire that he would speak with boldness as he ought to speak. And remember, when Paul wrote these words here in his epistle to church at Colossae, he was imprisoned in Rome. Paul was chained to a Roman guard around the clock, and every 6 hours a new guard would come along and would be chained to Paul. And you see, Paul could have very easily requested here then. His primary concern could have been that he would be liberated, he'd be set free from his chains. That's not what he was asking for. Instead, he was asking that God would simply turn his situation to his advantage, that he would be given the opportunity to speak boldly and with clarity to these guards and others while he was in chains. For you see, though Paul knew he was in chains, knew the gospel was not chained. And Paul's only real concern then was that the gospel might go out with power and with saving effect, that he wouldn't shy away from availing himself of any opportunity that presented itself to him to bring the truth to bear upon the hearts and lives of all those God in his providence brought him into contact with. And you see, Paul was a man of one thing then. was a man who lived to make Christ known, who wanted to see people brought into the kingdom of God through Christ, and that the kingdom of God would go on expanding and advancing no matter what. And friends, should we not all be praying that we too would be a people of one thing, that we would be a people with kingdom priorities, whose heart's desire, whose prayer to God is that his kingdom would come, that his will might be done in earth as it is in heaven, and that people would be drawn to Christ from out of every tribe and nation and tongue and people, and that all those whom God has raised up to sow the good seed of his kingdom, to spread the message of the gospel, they would be valiant for the truth in the face of opposition and persecution. You see, the gospel and the truth of God's word is not readily received by people, as Paul well knew. That's why it ended up in prison in the first place. And wherever it goes then, it will be met with resistance and opposition. You see, it holds no appeal whatsoever to those who are carnal and worldly, who are set on going their own way in life. Not only that, but the God of this world, the devil, as Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he's ever at work seeking to blind the minds of men against the gospel, lest the light of the glory of Christ should shine on them and into their hearts. And all those who proclaim the gospel then, they need to be empowered by God to do so without fear or favor, so that they might be honest with the souls of men. They wouldn't shun to declare the whole counsel of God without in any way dumbing down their message or compromising and making known the absolute claims of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you see, Paul wanted to be ever faithful then to God in ensuring that the message that he and every ambassador of Jesus Christ declared, that it was presented clearly, that it was completely true to the Word of God, and that hearts and minds would be opened upon hearing the message preached, so that it would be understood, it would be received in faith and in love, and that it would triumph in the face of all opposition. You see, Paul knew that God must not only open doors for the gospel to be proclaimed, but he must also open the door of the hearts of those who hear it, so that it would be embraced by them, become an effectual means of salvation to them. And friends, again, this is what I ask for you to pray for me also, as I seek to open up God's word to you, and that you would pray this prayer for all of God's servants who labor in his vineyard, so that the word of God might have free course, it might be glorified, as Paul prayed elsewhere in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Well, friends, I don't want to detain you any longer, but I do want to encourage you, all of you, like Paul does here, to continue earnestly in prayer, to commit yourself to the practice of prayer, that you would pray for myself, you would pray for all of those whom God has sent out to do the work of his kingdom, that God would own his word, that God would bless his word as it is preached, so that the gospel would go out, not in word only, but in the Spirit, and with convicting and converting power, so that eyes would be opened, that multitudes would be turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, and that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in Christ. You see, friends, prayer and the proclamation of the word, they are the divinely appointed means by which God has purpose to bring these things to pass. Well, friends, may God stir up all of our hearts to call down his blessing on ourselves and others for our good, for their good, and for the glory of God's own great name. Amen. Well, let us now call on God once again in prayer. Let us pray. Again, Heavenly Father, we come to you. We come to you, the God of all grace. We do thank you that we can come to you, that we have access to you at a throne of grace. We thank you for the liberty to come up to your house this evening, to worship you, to praise your great name. Thank you that your word can be opened up from week to week. It can be proclaimed and expounded. We do pray, Lord, that you would bless it among us. We pray you would bless it to the ends of the earth. We pray that you would bless all who preach your word here in our community. Pray for all of those in our community who are seeking to reach others with the truth. Thank you for those even among ourselves who give of their time, their energy, their talents to work in the ministry of Precious Seeds, cadets in the youth center, whose heart's desire is to see people brought into your kingdom, whose heart's desire is to see people coming to know Christ, walking with Christ, giving their hearts to him. And we do pray, Lord, that you would work here in our community, in this town, in this province, in this nation, to the ends of the earth. We cry out to you. We do pray, raise up, send out laborers into the harvest field, men, women, equipped, sent out by you to witness, to proclaim the good news of your kingdom. We do pray your kingdom would come, your will would be done in earth as it is in heaven. And we do thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word. May we value it. May we love it. May we seek to conform all of life to it. And we do ask, Lord, you would bless us, bless what we heard this evening, help all of us to become more devoted to prayer, help us to be setting aside time, even in the midst of all of our busy schedules, however short it may be, to call out to you, to call upon you, to pray for our families, to pray in our homes. You'd bless our marriages, you'd bless our families, our children, our loved ones, that you would work in hearts and minds by your Spirit. And we do look to you then. We pray that you would hear us. We do pray you would bless the short time that we've spent together this evening. Help us to go away to think on these things. Help us to act upon them. And we do ask that you would hear us, you would forgive us for all of our many sins, cleanse us afresh in the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness, and hear us now, we ask. We pray these things in Jesus' name. We ask it all for his sake alone. Amen.